Welcome, everybody, to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm Sean Kane. I'm your host. It is Monday, January 9th, the fourth episode of Lineup Logic. So I appreciate everybody who's tuned in the last few episodes, getting us off the ground here in 2017. The weekend was definitely football-centered, but God, those football games were terrible, man. But the basketball games were definitely more interesting. Golden State-Memphis on Friday night, Toronto-Chicago on Saturday night, and then even the daytime game, Washington-Milwaukee Sunday. That was... all of them came down to fourth quarter, very competitive games. So we saw some nice, you know, rising powers. I always like to make sure that there's NBA parity. Personally, I don't love superpowers too much. Rooting for some underdogs. And good news, guys, Chris Paul is back. He is healthy. In case you missed it, he put up 51 FD points last night on the Kings. Not on the Kings. But put up 51 FD points. Golden State was playing the Kings, and Curry went bananas on the Kings. That's right. But Chris Paul is back. Always nice to have the Clippers be relevant again. It just got, no Blake, no Chris Paul. You were like, oh man, I don't know if this team's going to hang on. And I was, you know, I'm rooting for Chris Paul this year. He's an easy guy to root for. However, tonight, Monday night, strange slate. You can tell the schedule makers are basically saying they don't want to compete with the national championship. Clemson, Alabama will have everyone's attention, as it will probably have mine, too. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to be tuning in. So there's only three games on the NBA schedule tonight. But there are some good ones for fantasy purposes. It'd be nice if they were part of a larger slate. But it's definitely a challenge to construct quality lineups. So, you know, with caution, I would definitely say, you know, put money out there with caution. It's a weird slate. Not a lot of plays. Not a lot of good ways to fit things in that you like. And not a lot of injury value either. So, not a slate to fade completely, but definitely not a slate where I'm throwing out much more than maybe 10% of my bankroll. For now, I want to bring you a recap of the previous show's lineup. Then we'll preview the night to come, spreads, injury news, as we always do, followed by breaking down players who you can lock and load, grout players you can fill in around those guys, and then some value on this slate. Only three games to break down, so it's interesting. It seems straightforward, but prepping for the show, I kept turning over different things. I don't know, maybe about this, maybe this. Took a little bit longer than I would have anticipated. But hey, you know, that's okay. So a quick recap from Friday night's lineup. One of these nights. Friday night's lineup, if you remember, we did John Wall, Malcolm Brogdon, Zach LaVine, Jamal Crawford, LeBron, Aaron Gordon, James Johnson, Jabari Parker, and the process, Joel Embiid. Frustrating. Cash lines are pretty high. Cash lines were like 306. It cashed 50-50s. That was about it. I think in general we had all the right plays on the show, but all in the wrong places. We just couldn't put them all in the right spot. Which, to be honest, when you do that, when your player pool is correct, that means your process is correct. You know, we broke down, we knew the value plays were out there, like TJ McConnell and Willie Reed. We knew Willie Reed was in a plus matchup. We knew McConnell was basically averaging the same number of buckets as, or excuse me, same FD points as Malcolm Brogdon. But, you know, we played Brogdon and Embiid. And Brogdon and Embiid played and hit value and did great. But McConnell and Reed both absolutely crushed, both in the perfect lineup. McConnell and Reed, I think, both went for 41 FD points, which had, you know, McConnell was at 41K. They were both at 41K, which was 10X. So, you know, incredible value there that would have allowed you to fit in, you know, a LeBron and a KD or a LeBron and a Steph, who both played very well. We debated Avery Bradley and Zach LaVine. That was frustrating because, you know, it came down to minutes and usage. And, you know, projected usage for Avery Bradley is always lower than Zach LaVine because of Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford. We went with LaVine. LaVine went 0 for 8 in the first half of that game against Washington. You can't predict that, honestly. But you can now understand that Bradley Beal is playing pretty good perimeter defense, and that is real. So that trend, you know, we missed that. And had we gone, you know, it's frustrating because had we gone with some of those plays that we discussed, you know, maybe Brogdon, or excuse me, gone with Bradley, gone with McConnell, and gone with Reed, and then spent up at other places, this lineup would have absolutely crushed. But hey, hindsight is always 20/20 in DFS. And you know, the nice thing is everybody else in the lineup basically hit their projections, hit 5X. John Wall did a great job. Jamal Crawford, LeBron, Aaron Gordon crushed. James Johnson did great for us, and Jabari Parker hit 5X, as well as Joel. So, you know, very pleased with the lineup. But let's take a look at tonight. All right, so looking at this three-game slate, we have the first game of the night is in Madison Square Garden. The New Orleans Pelicans going up to play in New York. And we have a 215 total in this one. New York's favored by 4 at home. Two teams that are just kind of trying to figure it out. No major injury news in this one. Definitely it is the highest total on the night, 215. Next game, moving over to Chicago. You have OKC in Chicago, 209 total in this one. Thunder are favored by 1.5. You wonder if that line is moving with the Jimmy Butler news that he is a game time decision. I did not see the line this morning, Jimmy Butler now is a game time decision. Apparently he's sick. He missed shoot around, you know, which could flip this whole slate upside down. Very interesting possibilities there, but second highest total there. And then you kind of have a clunker in Minnesota, 194 total in the Dallas Minnesota game. Minnesota favored by 4.5 in this one. Not a great game. Two teams with matching records, 11-26. Both teams just kind of struggling on the year. You know, you hate to see the Timberwolves with all that young talent struggle, but that's the truth of the matter. They're struggling. Kind of a perfectly fine game to completely fade. No idea what happens with Dallas's pace and defensive efficiency. They're very good defensively, and they are one of the slowest teams in the NBA. Minnesota seems pretty unpredictable as far as who's going to go off, whether it's LaVine or Wiggins or Big Cat. So totally okay if you want to completely fade the Dallas-Minnesota game. But there are some plays. There are some plays on this slate, so let's move into the lock and load segment. Who do you love? Of course, the lock and load segment is where I'm going to go position by position, and I am going to break down exactly you know, who you need to target, who you cannot really fade, or well, you could. You want to target at each position, who that high price stud is, and who the studs are pretty easy to find on this. You have one top tier of players, and then there are sharp drops, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. So let's go through some of the obvious plays. No surprise to your guys at point guard, it's Russell Westbrook. Oh, Westy put down 70 on the Nuggets, which was just absolutely wondrous and beautiful. It was like watching the sunrise. There are certain things that are just laws of nature. And Russell Westbrook going for 32, 17, and 11 against the Nuggets was something that, you know, was as certain as death and taxes. So that was great for that to happen that way. He's projected for 60 tonight against the Bulls. That's his median, right? Ceiling for Russ is always 70 plus, which makes sense because I don't think Michael Carter-Williams is going to stop him. Kyle Lowry scored over 55 points on the Bulls on Saturday. And over the last five games, Bulls are last in DVP to the point guard. Last. Like worse than the Knicks. So they're giving up 60 FD points to the point guard. So, You know, Russ is always a very comfortable play, but he's a very comfortable play in this situation. He's a lock and load. No reason to question that. And on a short slate, you know, if you end up fading Russ, you can end up paying for it, because if he hits his ceiling and everybody else, this was like Saturday night when Russ hit his ceiling and only a 6-game slate, pretty much everybody who was on the, you know, everybody who was on the cash line, had Russ in their lineups, and he was on, you know, over 50% of the lineup. So one of those types of situations where you don't want to fade him. At shooting guard, this is the kind of night it is, guys. I'm serious. Dwayne Wade, highest priced shooting guard. Dwayne Wade also getting a lot of all-star votes, which is ridiculous, just name recognition. The fan voting is out of control. Zaza Pachulia is like second to LeBron. And I don't know if there's anybody who's like, if you're not a Golden State fan and you've ever watched Zaza throughout his career, you know, as I kind of have had the displeasure to do, and he's not likable. It's not like you've got this wonderful character in Zaza Pachulia. You know, this is not some, you know, wonderful veteran that everybody needs to root for. I think you're just rooting for him because he's got a funny name and he acts weird and he's on the Warriors. Aside from the Zaza tilt that I'm on, D-Wade, highest priced shooting guard, 6,600. It's a weird slate, guys. But then it's him and then Zach LaVine. They're the highest priced guys. Wade averaging 31 FanDuel points per game, but he does have a rough matchup with Oladipo. Currently third best in the league against the shooting guard position, the Thunder. So, you know, Wade will flirt with 30 tonight, but he does have a limited ceiling. Wade, however, in a situation that Jimmy is out, he gets a massive usage bump. So, you know, I think the lock and load situation for Dwayne Wade is if Jimmy is out. You know, I don't think you go, you know, even though Wade has a limited ceiling, I just don't think you can go to LaVine. LaVine does have a better ceiling, but he has a terrible matchup. You know, Dallas is 12th against the shooting guard, and more importantly, they're second to last in pace. You're going to be sacrificing a ton of possessions and opportunities by rostering LaVine. So D. Wade is the stud in the shooting guard position, and you definitely lock and load him in if Jimmy sits with the illness. So speaking of the man among boys, Jimmy G Buckets, the G stands for gets, God, he went berserk Saturday night, 42, 10 and 5, 3 steals, 63 FanDuel points, you know, takes the Raptors out in overtime. It was amazing. You know, it's funny because on Saturday night, Twitter, people were just lamenting the waste of money that Paul George and Kawhi were on the slate. You know, Jimmy was the highest priced guy. I think he was a 91 or 90, 92. And, you know, a lot of us decided, all right, well, you know, floor wise, George and Leonard are both very safe plays and you save a lot of money. I played Kawhi on Saturday, and he played terrible. He went 3x, where Jimmy went, you know, 6x, and it was just the worst. You know, George and Leonard, Paul George, you know, think about the small forward position. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are great floor players. Like, they have a very safe floor, they have a very safe usage rate, but they're not, the reality is they're not counted on their offense in the way that Jimmy is. Jimmy's a superstar on the Bulls, and the Bulls need him in order to win. Paul George and Kawhi are superstars for sure. They're, you know, next level talent, all-star level talent. But they don't have to take over games for the Pacers and the Spurs for them to win, because they've got a different cast of players around them, you know. Kawhi's got LaMarcus, and the Spurs play really good defense. And then Paul George has, you know, a ton of emerging talent in Jeff Teague and Miles Turner, and you know, the way that they're playing, it's Paul George doesn't have to take every shot. You know, Jimmy, however, is the closer. He is the offense. Everything starts through him, and when he penetrates, you know, he's kicking out to the perimeter, and Taj and Robin Lopez are chasing those rebounds. They're one of the best rebounding teams in the league. They're playing on the interior. Jimmy's just on another level right now. So anyway, I do see Jimmy as a must play tonight. The matchup with Andre Roberson is not good. But if you watch the Bulls offense, you're going to know, Jimmy runs a lot fewer isolation plays than, you know, you would think, right? So Roberson would definitely be a terrible one-on-one matchup for a guy like, you know, a Carmelo, for example, who wants to run ISO and, you know, pull up mid-range and things like that. You know, Roberson overall is a -5 matchup, but he's best in the mid-range. He's best in the mid-range. You can get to Roberson, so at least statistically, you can get to Roberson in the restricted area. And so, you know, the majority of Jimmy's shot attempts involve zero dribbles. You know, these are advanced statistics via NBA.com. The majority of his shot attempts are zero dribbles or within the restricted area, okay? So as long as Jimmy isn't, you know, settling for the mid-range and waving everybody off, he should be able to get in some work against Roberson. And you know, the reality is this is going to be a very high-scoring affair. So you kind of have to like Jimmy in this one, in that respect. At power forward, it's the Brow. Anthony Davis, highest priced power forward, just above Porzingis, who actually I don't mind Porzingis at all, but Brow's in an especially good spot. Highest total on the night, Knicks Pelicans. Poor defensive team overall, the Knicks are, but they're especially bad in the front court against the bigs. You know, against center, they struggle on the interior. Brow had a really nice bounce back game and has had a nice bounce back in January in general. He had a great game in Boston. He beat salary expectations based expectations by 12 points. And really this is kind of leading me, if you look at his game logs, he was really frustrating during December. Really leads me to wonder if it was just, if December was just health, you know, if he was just not healthy in December, and that's why we were seeing these kind of up and down games where he really wasn't meeting value, you know, and then a couple good days off over the holidays gave him, you know, the bounce back. So I kind of looked into what's going on in this first week of the 2017. So games back here for the Brow, 40 minutes, 37 minutes, 38 minutes. Okay. That's a lot higher than what his average was during December, which was approximately 36, 35. So January, he is seeing the highest rate of points in the paint this season as well. 52% of his points have come in the paint, which you really like for Anthony Davis. You know, not settling outside, not shooting threes. His three-point attempts rate is down, and his rebounds are up. By almost 5 over his season average this month. So I guess this is all kind of an indicator that, you know, they're putting Davis in closer to the rim. They're playing him more like a center. They're playing him more like a 4. He's getting to the basket rather than playing outside on the perimeter. And he's playing better as a result. His numbers are better. So, you know, from a fantasy perspective, this is a great sign for the Brow. He's a little bit underpriced at around 11K. So, you know, I like Brow lock and load tonight against the Knicks. At center, the center position is interesting. There's really only one stud, and then it's just kind of all the value guys. You don't have anyone in the 7K mid-tier, which you usually do. You know, you usually have Dwight and Rudy Gobert and Marcus Gasol in there in the 8K range, but nothing. Cat is at the top, big Cat. Karl Anthony Towns, best center on the slate by almost 4K. That said, I don't necessarily need to play him. Not my favorite play. 9K, I would rather spend on Jimmy. I'd rather spend on Melo. I'd rather spend on Porzingis. Got to be honest with you. Mavs are 31st in pace in the league, and in the last 5 games, they have definitely improved their DVP against center, and mostly because of the return of Andrew Bogut. Bogut is back from he was out for about 6 weeks. Minutes are trending up. He got 15 minutes in the first 2 games back, kind of limited him, and then they kind of started to take the reins off and gave him 30 full minutes. We'll talk a little bit more about Bogut later. But it's likely that Cat, he's projected for anywhere between 30 and 40 points. So at that salary, you need him to hit 45. I just don't see a ton of reason to play Cat. I love him. I love the man. I see him as a great contrarian play. He always has a nice high ceiling. But I watched that Wolves-Wizards game and, you know, hoping to learn a little bit more about both teams. I always, you know, get in there on Game Pass, try and figure out, learn about teams that aren't, you know, that I already don't have a lot of knowledge of. One thing I definitely learned was that John Wall is the best passer in the league. Now, I know a lot of LeBron love for the way LeBron moves the ball, and definitely LeBron deserves some respect for the way he distributes, but John Wall was insane. He had like a career-high 18 assists on Friday night, and it's just, I think it's just the way he approaches the court. You know, he sees things people don't know are happening. John Wall, a lot of different opinions about him, but man, he's fun to watch. So anyway, that was one takeaway from that game. The second takeaway was Andrew Wiggins is filthy. he scored 40 points, looked like Michael in the mid-range, shooting everything from like free throw line extended. It was crazy. Okay, but third takeaway that relates to Karl Anthony Towns, I apologize, I had a lot of takeaways from this game. That was frustrating. I talked about Towns on the pod. I thought for sure he would do work against Gortat. And in the first quarter, he was rolling. He had 14 FD points. And I was like, there it is. He's taking Gortat to work. And then he disappeared. He just completely disappeared. I don't know if it was game script. I don't know if it was just the fact that Wiggins was so hot. I don't know if the Wolves just are kind of a hot mess. But it was really, really disappointing. You know, you want to watch, man, I want to watch Wiggins. I do like watching Wiggins work, but I like watching centers work in general. You know, I'll tune in to watch Boogie and Marc Gasol. But I love watching Cat, you know, and Joel Embiid. I love watching him too, but I love watching Cat work in the interior, and they didn't even try. He just wasn't getting enough touches. So I don't think there's any reason to play Cat in this game. Except if you want to be contrarian, tournaments, he's always, always an option in tournaments. All right, moving on. Fantasy Grout, mid-price guys, you're filling in 5 to 8K range, guys who, you know, you've got to work in around your studs because you can't play all the studs. All right, so starting at point guard, looking at Jrue Holiday. Holiday facing one of the worst teams in the league against the point guard, Derrick Rose. Full YOLO, does not care. Ron Baker stealing his minutes, and he plays terrible defense. So highest team total on the night in this one, or excuse me, highest game total in the night this one, Pelicans, Knicks. In last game against the Knicks, Holiday went for 38 FD points, which is almost 6X. So, you know, I like Jrue Holiday in this one. Shooting guard, it is Oladipo. Literally, last three episodes, Oladipo has been the cash lock at shooting guard at 5'9", under 5K. And I keep saying it, you know, at this price, keep playing Oladipo. You know, until he goes over 6K, okay? He's consistent. It's not great upside. You're not paying for upside, but you're paying for the consistency and the floor. Last four games, 30 FD points, 29, 28, 29. Literally perfect 5X at his salary. So, you know, he's kind of one of those plays you don't really have to worry about it. You just wait till the end of the fourth quarter and you make sure that he scored his points, and that's that. He should definitely be able to hit that against the Bulls again tonight. DeMar DeRozan went off on the Bulls on Saturday. So shooting guard defense, Dwayne Wade is just not what he once was. Love the old man, but just quite, maybe lost a step. At small forward, it's Carmella. Carmella, you know her. Carmelo is the only small forward on the slate with actually a reasonable opponent plus minus. Jimmy actually has a negative opponent plus minus, mostly because of Roberson. But Carmelo at 7-9 is still kind of meh. You know, I mean, I mentioned don't chase. I said that the other day. It was like, don't chase the Milwaukee game. He's not going to score 55 points. He didn't. He didn't. You know, victory lap for me. Sorry. I apologize for taking that victory lap. But, you know, you got to be careful with Carmelo. It's like every other day, every two other days. And tonight might be a good spot for him, to be honest with you. He's at home. He's always better at home. He is averaging 23-6-6, shooting 40% from the field recently. So, you know, I do think he should be able to hit salary-based expectations in what is going to be kind of a high-scoring, low-defense affair. All right, power forward. Interesting guy. I usually don't know when and how to play him, but I think tonight's a good spot. And I know I said we're fading this Minnesota-Dallas game, but at power forward, I feel pretty good about Georgie Dang. Work on that. I don't know which one it is. The reason Jang is playing is worth playing is basically because of the Mavs' rebounding rate. One of the worst teams in the league again rebounding. In fact, they are the worst. So you know, power forward like Jang is almost 7 feet tall. He's the second highest rebounder on the team behind Karl Anthony Towns. Which you know, if you wanted to. By the way, if you wanted an argument to play Karl Anthony Towns, there it is, I guess. But Jang should be able to snag a few extra rebounds in this one, which, you know, aside from he's just wicked consistent. The dude's price just barely moves because he basically hits value all the time. Very comparable to Oladipo, you know. Doesn't have any upside, but if he gets you 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 3 assists, boom, you're there. And that's a very reasonable thing. So he averages 10 points and 8 rebounds, so even plus 2 on the rebound front. Again, no upside with Jang. You know, if you want the upside, you're probably looking at Porzingis, which, give me an excuse to play Porzingis. I will play Porzingis. I love the man. But Jang is priced very reasonably, and you can fit him into a lot of lineups that you build. At center, it's interesting. It's kind of a toss-up for me between Joakim Noah and Robin Lopez, both under 5K, which is super nice. Noah, however, has been playing a little bit better recently, and he has a better matchup, frankly. So the Pelicans are just not good against the center. They're one of the worst DVPs in the center on the season. And he's going against his former teammate, Omer Asik. So if your narrative, hashtag narrative street on this one, should be a good recipe for, you know, some confidence. I especially like the price. You know, so with all the studs on this slate, you got to find spots to send down. So Robin Lopez at 4-2, Noah at 4-9. Either one works, I think. They'll probably have very similar numbers on the night, 25 to 30 points, you know, 20, somewhere in there. But let's talk about Lopez right now as we move on to the bargain basement, baby. Sub 4-5 value guys that you can feel good about, right? There's not, you know, anybody locking in because of injury news just yet. But, you know, if you're going below 4-5, as you should kind of in a lot of your lineups in order to fit in studs, then here are a couple plays where you can go. Robin Lopez, right? I've just talked about him. Josh actually is going to break down Lopez a little bit later in the show, but he's got a 4-2. He's getting consistent minutes, pace-up game, great value. You know, he's just... you're going to kind of get what you pay for at his salary. You should be able to get more than 20 points. And then actually move on from on the same roster for the Bulls. You've got a lot of very reasonably priced Bulls. You've got Doug McDermott at 4K. You got Nikola Mirotic at 4-5. And you've got Michael Carter-Williams at 4-8. And actually, Taj is only 4-7. So, I mean, you could really take, you know, whichever Bulls are your favorite. My few favorite are McDermott and Miritich. They are getting a massive minutes bump. They're basically 6th and 7th men off the bench. In the last three games, they're playing a ton of minutes, almost 30 minutes for both of them in the last three games. They both went over 30 against the Raptors. And for 30 minutes to pay 4K or 4-5, especially with the way those two shoot the three, you really almost have to, you almost feel like you should play them both. There's huge upside there. There's huge value there in both of them. And, you know, a lot of people were on, some people were on McDermott on Saturday night just because they saw the minutes trend. And Miritich, you know. And that was a damn good play. It was a sharp play. Plus, Doug McDermott, just phenomenally handsome. Just a real clean-cut American look, you know. Gosh, where'd that haircut go? Am I right? The old Johnny Unitas? Looking sharp, Doug McDermott. Anyhow, that was unnecessary, and I do apologize for gushing about Doug McDermott's haircut. Another interesting value play, and like at your own risk, but it's Buddy Hield. He's interesting, right? And I think the only reason he's interesting is the upside. He's getting more minutes. They're working him into the rotation. And he's putting up at least 5 threes in the last couple games. Now, when he starts hitting, he's getting more minutes. It's interesting. You see a correlation between his 3-point percentage and his minutes over his game logs. You can see how, you know, Alvin Gentry is like, oh, okay, well, Hield is hot. Let's get him some more minutes. And that's really he can do. He can get hot. He's a 3-point shooter. New York doesn't really give up too much to the shooting guard. Courtney Lee is pretty solid, which on the opposite side of the ball, if you want to play Courtney Lee in cash, I am fine with Courtney Lee in cash. 4,100, he's the exact same price as Hield. Doesn't have nearly the upside that Hield has. But not nearly as sexy, but he is going to probably get you 20 points, and you're fine with Courtney Lee. But I do think that Hield has some upside, and he definitely profiles as a nice GPP play. So if you're looking for a punt, Hield is not the worst that you could do. Last one is Andrew Bogut. He is very interesting. I know we don't love any pieces of this Dallas game. I keep talking about it. But in the last 10 games, Wolves giving up 51 points to the center. 51. His price dropped because he came back to the starting lineup, but he didn't play his full minutes. He had 15 and barely hit, you know, his floor basically in the last two matchups, which is going to make people nervous about him. But last game, his minutes were almost up to 30. And I'm going to butcher this name, but Slammer Mersch, the backup center in Dallas, is out tonight. So you could definitely see a little bit of a minutes boost for Bogut. And at 3-8, you know, with all the studs on this slate, you got to save somewhere. And Bogut at 3-8 is really the only sub-4K, besides Andre Roberson, who you can always kind of play, but he's a little scary. Bogut is a sub-4K play that you feel pretty good about. All right, so let's go through lineup lock. I actually have two separate lineups for you today. One is a with Jimmy lineup and one is a without Jimmy lineup. We don't know what's going to happen with Jimmy, but it's not like there's enough players on the slate where you can be like, oh, Jimmy's out. Okay, I'll just plug in this guy who's similarly priced. So you kind of have to reconstruct without Jimmy. So two lineups for you. Feel pretty good about both of them. But again, this is one of those slates where I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm not going to play a lot of money out there tonight. Just kind of like give me the heebie-jeebies. Like somebody's going to win some money tonight, but like, I don't know, three games makes me nervous. All right, lineup number one. This is the with Jimmy lineup, okay? Russell Westbrook. Point guard one, Michael Carter Williams, point guard two. Shooting guard, it's Oladipo. And shooting guard two, it's Buddy Hield. You could go Courtney Lee if you want. Same price. Small forward one, it's Jimmy. Small forward two, it's Andre Roberson. You know who we talked about. Tons of minutes for Roberson. A sub four value at small forward. At power forward one, it's the Brow, Anthony Davis. Power forward two, it is Mirotić. And at center, it is Andrew Bogut. So, you know, nice stars and scrubs kind of lineup here, really. You know, Westy, Butler, and Brow. Next lineup is, this is the sans Jimmy lineup. So this is the, if Jimmy sits, this is kind of where you need to be because of the usage bump that Wade and McDermott get. This is Westbrook, Jrue Holiday, D. Wade, Oladipo, Andre Roberson still, McDermott, Doug McDermott, who will get the start if Jimmy sits. And power forward, it's the Brow, Anthony Davis, Georgie Dang, and then at center, again, Andrew Bogut. You know, playing Westbrook and Davis, I think Bogut's kind of a must. So I'm locking Bogut and Roberson in there. They're the only guys below 4K that you can really feel good about on this slate. So those are our lineups for today. Best of luck with those lineups, boys. Good luck tonight. Enjoy the national championship, and I will see you again tomorrow.